You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 334 of Locked On Raptors for Wednesday, May 16th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where, of course, you can find links to every single episode. Of course, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. You got all 32 NFL teams covered as well. And a growing list of MLB shows, too, including Locked On Blue Jays. If you are interested in hearing about what's going on with the Jays right now, they had a big win today. So check out Locked On Blue Jays, and you'll hear all about it. There's also Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd, Locked On NBA with David Locke. A million different shows for you to check out on the network, and they're all together on the Locked On NBA iTunes channel or the NFL or MLB channels, whatever. And if you find a show that you like, subscribe to it separately. So you can do that with us, Locked On Raptors. If you find our iTunes page or Spotify or Stitcher or Google Play, whatever, please leave a rating or a review. It's the best way to support the show. It doesn't cost any money. It takes about 10 seconds to leave a nice rating. Even less if you're just going to leave a 5-star review with no comments or anything like that. But please, the comments are nice too. I like reading them. The feedback is nice. It has helped me inform the show. So thanks in advance for taking the time to do that. All right, on today's show, the season is over, and we are going to go over our preseason prop bets that we made way back in September or October, whatever the hell it was, with myself, Sahal Abdi, and Vivek Jacob. Sahal, Vivek, how's it going, guys?
I'm awesome.
I should have thrown to... sorry, go ahead.
Did I cut off there?
No. I should have just thrown to one of you instead of two because I'm an idiot. But either way... glad to hear you. All right, Sahal. Vivek, I didn't hear you there.
I'm doing pretty good, man.
Oh, yeah.
Just chilling, enjoying the conference finals.
The weather.
Days off. The weather, the sunshine.
Yep.
It has, the weather certainly has helped ease the recovery period from the Raptors. I'm feeling good now. I don't know. I was, feeling kind of down last week, early this week, but I'm all right. Things are fine. It's all good. They'll be whatever. They'll be fine. They'll be good. You know, this is very this is an extremely on-brand thing for me to say, but yeah, that's where we're at. All right. So, preseason prop bets. We'll get to those in just a second, but first of all, I guess there's some news we should talk about. Mike Budenholzer has signed on to be the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, ending the Raptors' rumored pursuit of him. And that's about it. I don't know. Apparently, he met with the Raptors on Monday, didn't get an offer from them. Maybe it was just some more taunting after. Maybe they just had like OG go to lunch with him and not say anything. That would have been fun. just sit there silently staring Bud down. But Budenholzer's coaching the Bucks. He won't be coaching the Raptors. That, I guess, shortens the pool of people that are in the hunt for the Raptors job. Still mostly just the in-house assistants that we're hearing about. Nick Nurse, Jerry Stackhouse, Rex Kalamian. Not a whole lot in terms of other names thrown around. But Vivek, let's start with you. Reaction, thoughts on Mike Budenholzer not being the Raptors coach?
I'm not disappointed. yeah, I thought it would have been a bit of a lateral move to bring Budenholzer in, not just because the Hawks were swept by LeBron, but more just because in terms of his weaknesses, I thought they were pretty similar to Casey's in terms of in-game adjustments and sort of reacting on the fly. I wasn't huge on, you know, he's come across from his time in Atlanta as someone that can get pretty whiny with officials, and that's not something I'm too excited about seeing again. That's part of sort of the changes that I want to see in terms of the Raptors just, you know, playing the next play and not getting caught up with the officials and, you know, just rising above all that stuff, and all that factored into why I didn't really want him as the next guy.
Fair enough. Sahal, your thoughts on Bud not coming to Toronto?
I mean, I always thought that Bud to Milwaukee was it was a higher chance of that happening. I think it's a good thing for Milwaukee. For Toronto, like Vivek said, I think it's a bit of a lateral move. I was never really a fan of bringing a retread to Toronto, whether it be Budenholzer or any of these other guys that were mentioned. Maybe if it was Fizdale, if you can consider him a retread before he got hired by the Knicks, but the Knicks took care of that. Probably their first good move in like 20 years. But the Raptors, I like what Masai Ujiri is doing here. I think he's crossing off, or you could say he's checking off all the boxes. He probably wanted to know what Budenholzer was about, his plan for Toronto, whether that aligned with his philosophy or not. Asking for my personal opinion, I think I'm a fan of not hiring a guy like Mike Budenholzer, but at the same time, I'm a fan of Milwaukee hiring him. I think he can do some good things with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Although I do think that team is headed for a lot of roster turnover, and if not, I feel like that wouldn't be the smartest move to just run it back with all those guys again. I think Bledsoe's not that the player that he once was, and Middleton's a bit. I mean, you can run it back with Middleton, but I think he's the type of guy that you'd probably like to package with someone else, maybe to trade and get another star beside Giannis. But it's a good move. It's a good move for Milwaukee, and it's a good move for Toronto.
Yeah, I think this is going to be nice for Milwaukee. Bud has some like nice offensive ideas, and if there's one thing Milwaukee didn't have last season, it was ideas on offense. So
yeah,
that's a nice little thing. And also, Zach Lowe pointed this out, but just to echo that, like, the defense he ran this season in the last couple of years with Atlanta was a lot more conservative, and like, if there's something the Bucks definitely need, it's to chill the hell out on defense and not be so aggressive all the time. So that should be nice too. I think, you know, maybe Raptors fans might have been underrating Bud a little bit in sort of this process over the last, you know, week or so as the Casey thing has transpired. Like, I think Bud is a good coach, and I do think sort of his reputation might have gotten sullied a little bit because he wasn't the best executive. And of course he had the GM job a little bit there for the Hawks for a couple years and like didn't do particularly well, and he's a big reason why they're in this hell now, because he was kind of, you know, he was a bit reluctant to sort of offload the guys they were going to lose in free agency, and that's why they brought in Travis Schlenk. But I think as a coach, like, he's a really good coach, man. Like, he took that Hawks team, which, you know, was talented but also wasn't that talented, to 60 wins, and that's not for nothing. And I wouldn't have been like upset if he was the Raptors coach. I think as much as it might have been a bit of a lateral move optically, considering Bud's struggles in the playoffs against LeBron teams, I still think, you know, the tactics that Bud brings, even though there's been some issues in the playoffs, I think are a little bit more proficient than Dwayne Casey's. But, you know, either way, I think it's fine. I think the Raptors are going to be just okay without Bud, and we'll see what happens with this coaching search. I'd almost like to just hear some other names thrown around just so it's a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like it's assistants. And, like, at the end of the day, I'm okay if it's Nick Nurse or Jerry Stackhouse or whoever. But I would like to hear some more names thrown out just for some more intrigue, because the Bucks coaching search was, like, really fun. And there was lots of names, and it was, like, all over the place. That would add some intrigue to this podcast, at least. So, yeah, I'm with you, Sahal. I think it's good for the Bucks and also pretty good for the Raptors that he is going to Milwaukee. Other bit of news, Fred VanVleet is the third nominee, I guess, or one of three nominees for Sixth Man of the Year, the award that doesn't really matter, but it's pretty cool either way, along with Eric Gordon and Lou Williams. Vivek, what can we say about Fred at this point? He's just awesome, and it's like such a cool story.
Yeah, you look at where he started from, undrafted out of Wichita State, and then coming on to the Raptors, joining with the 905 and impressing there, working his way up. And, you know, I think coming into this season, everyone had him shorn and locked into that third string backup point guard role, maybe not getting any playing time barring injury. But, and especially you look at the first, you know, what was it, 10, 12 games that he had with the Raptors, it didn't look too good. His shot was really off. He was really struggling for a bit. And so for him to turn around the way he did and really become the connective tissue of that bench mob and set the table for guys like DeLon and Siakam and Poeltl and CJ to just be themselves, yeah, it's great to see that he's nominated for an award that he would be deserving of if Lou Williams didn't have an all-star caliber season.
Yeah, for sure. So, Hall, I guess the big question with Fred, and we'll talk about this more on the podcast going forward, but he's a restricted free agent this summer. Like, this is just another sort of cherry on top of the you just have to give him whatever he wants Sunday, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think Fred is, as well as he performed this year, I think Vivek described it perfectly. He was the connective tissue for all of these guys. I think he was the type of player that can actually raise the game of other players. He has that type of impact. So I think when you go into negotiations or whatever it may be with Masai Ujiri and Webster and the whole crew, I think you have to essentially give Fred whatever he wants. And I know that sounds crazy. It's not gonna be something I think that's franchise damaging or anything of the sort. But I think you have to keep Fred VanVleet as one of the highest priorities of the Toronto Raptors offseason.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't know, they're always kind of set up to pay the tax this year, and I think maybe the way they lost in the playoffs will give them some second guesses about that, but I would just do it, and just, like, don't worry about repeater stuff down the road. If you need to offload some money down the road, whether it's Serge or Norm or Jonas or something, I think it's worth it to keep Fred. Fred was vital to keeping Lowry fresh this season. Obviously the bench unit was excellent with him. He was a crunch time player for a lot of the season. Like, he was excellent. And, like, shouts to the voters for not, like, saying, oh, he didn't score 15 points a game off the bench, so we're not going to vote for him. Like, he had 8.6 points, 3.2 assists, and 2.4 boards a game. Shot 41% from deep. Like, that's not, outside of the shooting, like, that's not a typical six-man line. But, yeah, shouts to the voters for broadening the horizons a little bit. That's pretty cool. And, yeah, congrats to Fred. That's awesome. Even if he doesn't win, which I doubt he will, a very cool little notch in his belt just two seasons into a career that began without being drafted 23 months ago. So, shouts to Fred. All right, let's get to our prop bets from preseason. A little sort of, we did this at like the halfway point of the season, I think, where we went over to see where we were at. At that time, Sahal was projected to win with 5 correct answers out of the 10 questions. I had 4, Vivek had 3. Things might have changed. The Raptors won a shit ton of games in the back half of the season. That might have sort of thrown off his calculus a little bit. But let's get to this now. Prop bet number 1 was Raptors who averaged double-digit points per game. We set the line at 5.5. We all said over, and all of us are extremely wrong. Damn you, Fred, and the rest of the bench for being so egalitarian and mixing it around so much, because the Raptors only had 5 players average double-digit points, and CJ Miles just barely did it, exactly 10.0 points per game. So, yeah, we all lose on that one. Vivek, I mean, we don't really have to analyze that one. We can go to the next one. Next one, DeMar DeRozan assists per game. We can talk about DeMar after this one. We set the line at 6 assists per game. I said over. You guys both said under. When we checked in at the halfway point, he was at 5 assists even per game. He finished the season at 5.2, so still under. So you guys get the point for that. I do not get a point. Vivek, DeMar has been a weird guy to talk about lately because it's very apparent that his limitations are sort of a big part of what's keeping the Raptors from being able to get over the playoff hump at this point. I don't think that's any debate. I don't think it's really up for... it doesn't really seem like a question at this point. It just kind of seems like common knowledge. But, like, he did make so many strides as a playmaker this season. How are you sort of, like, factoring in all the growth that he made against the sort of limitations that he showed off in the playoffs right now?
Yeah, when you look at the regular season, and I would argue even through the first round against Washington, you know, from him making three-pointers to him improving his playmaking, I thought all of that showed through the first round. And that's a big part of why our first bet kind of went off, because he was distributing the ball so well. You know, you didn't have just the same guys going over and over again, where it was just DeRozan and Lowry and maybe to an extent Ibaka and then JV doing their thing. So I think his playmaking took some big strides this season. You saw shades of it the season before, but I think now with the changes to the offense, it's allowed him to show it off a bit more. And, you know, I think everyone thinks of the Detroit game where he had the big dunk, but also, you know, I think a lot of people fondly remember him driving all the way and then kicking it out to VanVleet, like he did a season ago to Corey Joseph. So I think those are the strides that he's made. The first round, again, you saw a lot of it. And why it fell apart in the second round, I think that's what people will sadly remember more than anything else, especially with, you know, his plus-minus over the final 3 games. I think the next step for him is just engaging on the defensive end way more consistently. Because I think, you know, I almost look at Oladipo a little bit in terms of what he did in the first round. Like, he didn't shoot the ball well against the Cavs. And, you know, he finished the series just shooting 41%. But I think the big thing was he was still a plus on the defensive end. And so I think for DeRozan, you know, what is he giving you when he's unable to break defenses down on the offensive end, when he's not making his jumper? And that's where it kills the team. He's hurting you on the defensive end, and then he's hurting you on the offensive end because he's, you know, sort of clogging up the offense. He's sort of dribbling the air out of the basketball, and that's got to be the next step for him. And, you know, I think that's part of why Casey's gone. He's, you know, getting a fresh voice that will be willing to challenge him on that end and give more. Because I think more than anything, we've all seen that when he does commit himself on that end, he can get stops and he can be intimidated. He has the strength, he has the size, he has the athleticism. Okay, maybe his muscles aren't as quick to twitch as, you know, the elite defenders, but there's enough there for him to at least be a net neutral defensive player. So that he just has to get to that point. There's no excuse now.
Yeah, so Hall, if you were to sort of, if you had like lordship over DeMar's development as a player, and you could trade off him not developing any more offensively, he stays the exact same offensive player that he was this season going forward, and he only adds defense, like, is that enough for you in terms of him growing? Because yes, the three-point shooting, it was like the biggest myth in the world this season. Like, he only shot 31%, but like, I think the playmaking got to a point where it was just, it was like borderline elite. Like, would you be okay if he just stopped developing as an offensive player and focused all of his attention into defense at this point?
Absolutely. I think DeMar DeRozan, one of the guys he should kind of emulate and look up to in the sense that of what player he should mold himself into is Jimmy Butler. I think they're similar age. Both of them are around a similar age. But Jimmy is a guy that's been getting it done on both sides, offensively and defensively. And not only that, he's in terms of total minutes played, I think he's been probably top five in the last 3-4 years. So there's really no excuse. Jimmy has been getting it done on both ends at almost an all NBA level for maybe 3-4 years straight. And he's been doing it with a very, very high minute total. So I think DeMar needs to, like Vivek said, he needs a coach to challenge him. I think Dwayne Casey was kind of okay that he wasn't putting that much on one side of the court as long as he was getting it done on the other in a consistent manner, which is what he was doing. I think DeMar, you can still look at him and say he's one of the most gifted offensive players in the league. But for him to take a step back, maybe a very minor step back offensively, and that doesn't just mean the raw stats like points per game. I mean, that means usage and different things like that. I think if he can take a minor step back defensively, or really just stay the same and just pick up the pace defensively, and I think when you're a team, for all the basketball players out there who play on a pretty regular basis at whatever level, I think when you know who the best player on your team is, and when you see him playing at a high level defensively, it kind of motivates you in a more silent way to kind of pick it up yourself. So I think it'd be good for the whole team, not just DeMar DeRozan, to play on that Jimmy Butler type of level. And but that's definitely, to me, I agree with Vivek 100%. That has to be his biggest goal. I know people are saying, "Oh, well, work on your three," and you know, we've been waiting for that for a little bit. DeMar did show some pretty good strides of that earlier in the year, and then he kind of leveled off near the end. But I think defense has to be DeMar's top priority.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about DeMar this week, and a lot of it's been kind of sad because I think there are just limitations that he has that are kind of, you know, unavoidable at this point. But the thing that I keep coming back to with him is, like, he's improved so much, and he improves pretty much every year. It's like the biggest cliche in the world every October, like, oh, what's DeMar going to improve this season? And he usually gets better. But I think the problem with DeMar is that the things he gets better at are the things that he's already good at. if that makes any sense. Like, all the stuff that he was already pretty good at, he got like 10 or 20% better at, but he didn't really improve the stuff that he was not good at. And the stuff that he's not good at is like actively debilitating to the team. Like you saw in the playoffs, in the Cavs series in particular, like just the unreliability of his three-point shot and like the 31% that he had this season, even that seems a little bit misleading because he had like a couple stretches where he was on fire and then a bunch of stretches where he'd go a month without hitting one. And it was like, it was very feast or famine with his three. And, you know, the defense, like I talked about this with Joe Wolf on yesterday, like you just can't have a wing in today's NBA who can't play defense, and you can't have a wing who's incapable of switching on at least one or two positions. Like that just has to be part of their repertoire if you're going to have success at the highest level. And DeMar, with his physical frame, there's no excuse for him not to be a passable, even close to good defender. And we saw it, like Vivek alluded to, there were possessions in the playoffs, like even switching onto like LeBron for possessions at a time and doing a good job. It, like, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe it's sort of incorporating more guys into the offense and sort of lessening his burden. And you know that, what, you know, what does that come at the expense of Kyle Lowry and the way you kept him fresh this season? Like, there's all these trade-offs and stuff, but I do think the stuff that DeMar has gotten better at, like, it's been the same stuff year over year. Like, he's gone from being a not very good, like, a sort of okay passer to an excellent passer. He's gone from being a refined mid-range scorer to an uber-refined mid-range scorer, but he hasn't improved the things that are his biggest sort of hindrances, and that, I think, is the biggest concern with him. But we'll have so much time to talk about DeMar this summer. It's depressing. I love DeMar with all of my heart, and, like, again, I want him back on the team. I don't really care about the limitations that come with him because I've accepted the Raptors aren't going to win a title with this iteration of the team. I just want to see them sort of run up the string and have some fun and win some games, and I'm cool with that. But if people have designs on winning more with DeMar, like, these are the things he has to improve. And honestly, at 28 years old, in year 9 or 10 next season, like, I think the clock's probably running out on that, but we have plenty of time to talk about that stuff. Let's go on to the next prop bet, number 3. Kyle Lowry, combined points, rebounds, and assists. I set the line at 32.5. I took under. You guys both took over. And boys, I won this one. He finished with 28.7 all told. When we first checked in, he was at 29.3. So I'm on the board. It's 1-1 across the board through three questions or three prop bets. We don't have to spend time on that one. We talked a lot about managing Kyle's load this year. It was great. It worked a lot. He was excellent in the playoffs. And I think managing his load and keeping his counting stats down ultimately had the long-term benefit you were hoping for. And here's hoping that with the return of Fred, ideally next season, and DeLon, that you can keep that up. Next one here. Go ahead.
Since you brought up Kyle's rest,
yeah.
Do you think at all that the amount of playmaking that DeRozan took over had any sort of impact on his fatigue towards the end of the season? I think this is the first time he's had to do that much, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair point. I mean, I think that probably weighed on him last year, too, at the end of the year when Kyle missed all that time and he was just doing everything, right? I mean, it would make sense. Yeah, I can't really argue that. It's so hard to say, right? We don't know. Like, the teams have so much more data on this stuff, right? And just, like, know the intricacies of the players and where they're at, their stress levels and stuff, way more than we ever could. But it's hard to say. Like, we've talked about so much about the rest for Kyle, and, you know, it stands to reason that it should apply to DeMar as well. So I guess the solution is just trade for Kawhi Leonard so you have a third guy, I suppose. I don't know.
that's the dream right there.
That would be nice. All right, next one here. We don't have to linger on this one too long. Number of wins against the Western Conference. We set the over or under at a very conservative 14.5. I took the over, Sahal took the over, Vivek took the under, and they were at 12 wins at halfway through the season. They finished 19-11 against the West, which is new.
Pretty impressive.
I don't know. That surprised me, but hey, that's pretty cool, I suppose.
Yeah.
So Sahal or Vivek, talk about the West. I got to pull up the stats for the next question, so just talk a little bit.
I was just going to say, so my thinking going into the season was that because the Raptors had such a young bench that they would have those growing pains on the road and it would take them some time to figure it out.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, you looked at those early West Coast trips, I thought that would be a problem for them. And so, you know, kudos to the bench turning into the bench mob and being great and really becoming a factor and not being phased throughout the regular season, whether it was home or away. So
yeah, and that was Fred VanVleet. Is exactly what he said at the end of the Cavaliers series. He said, "We destroyed." I don't know if he used the word destroy, but he used a synonym of destroy, where he said, "We've destroyed every single bench in the league, you know, leading up to this series. And once we got here, we just didn't show up." And I think West or East, Fred VanVleet, it's really – see, and that's why I really – when I got that little pop-up notification that he was a finalist for Sixth Man of the Year, again, probably knowing that Lou Williams is going to take it home this year, it's just such a cool testament for Fred VanVleet and how he's led the unit all year.
For sure. Let's go to the next one here. Total clutch minutes played. I'm having trouble pulling up the numbers right here, but we between most crunch time minutes played between OG Siakam, Jonas Poeltl, and Alphonso McKinney. Shouts to Alphonso McKinney getting on this preseason. Had such high hopes for him. why isn't it not allowing me to pull up minute totals? I might edit this out. What's that?
It probably has to be OG is what I'm thinking.
I don't know if it is, but why can't I pull up total minutes instead of just minutes per game? What the hell's going on?
I have it.
Okay. All right. Nope. I'm an idiot. What do you got, Vivek?
So who did we have? We had OG.
OG,
Jonas.
Siakam, Jonas, Poeltl, and McKinney.
Okay.
We did not even have Fred on this list.
Wow.
OG played 31 minutes, 31 clutch minutes. Pascal Siakam played 61.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. I was wrong.
Jakob Poeltl played 30.
Okay.
Alphonso McKinney played 0.
Poor guy.
Was it just Jonas that's left?
Yeah, Jonas.
Jonas played 67.
Okay, so Jonas won. Yeah, OG was leading at the halfway point. I don't know how many minutes he had, but he was leading at the halfway point. Just out of curiosity, how many did Fred finish with?
Fred VanVleet finished with 97.
Jeez. All right. Well, we clearly set the line on who to pick from here incorrectly. I guess this was more of a front court question, but...
So I'll just give you the top five in clutch minutes. DeRozan, 158. Lowry, 138. Ibaka, 113. VanVleet, 97. And then Jonas with 67.
Right on. Okay. So yeah, Jonas, Vivek, you actually picked Jonas before the season. So you get the point for this one. I said Siakam. Sahal said OG. So congrats to you there. Jonas, he was good this season, and I like that he closed some games. I mean, obviously matchups, it depends with him and stuff, but Vivek, like, what went into your preseason prediction for thinking Jonas was going to lead all these guys in crunch time minutes, aside from him just being older and not rookies, but, or not a rookie, but I don't know. Well, he hasn't closed a lot of games in the past. What do you think was sort of the reason for him getting into more close games this time around?
If I'm being completely honest with you, from what I remember, it was purely based off what I saw in preseason and just how much more involved he was in the offense. And,
right.
You know, just from the high post, whether it was him making reads, and I thought he did look lighter and quicker, and so I thought there'd be the opportunity to trust him a bit more. And so, yeah, I just rolled with it, and who'd have thought that he'd go on to, you know, catch the ball on an inbounds with like 3 seconds remaining and then go dunk on the Milwaukee Bucks to tie the game.
That's a really good point.
That was a foul. And, that was definitely a foul.
Yeah. And so he finished a plus 39 in clutch minutes, which is a team high.
Woo! Yeah.
That's incredible.
Second was CJ Miles, who was a plus 36. In just 29 minutes. And third was, where we go, Fred VanVleet, plus 33.
Right on. Well, shouts to Jonas for his crunch time work this season.
Pascal Siakam was a team worst, minus 39.
Yeah, that was the thing. That definitely creeped in over the course of the season, and I'm not sure how much that matters for his development going forward. I mean, I think his lack of shooting probably played into that some, but that also was just like an insanely small sample, so who knows. But
yeah.
I'm very excited about Siakam. I tweeted this last night, but Siakam and OG, just the way these playoffs have gone with how switching has been just king for everything, I'm very excited for those two. I think they are really nice guys to have to start sort of building a defense around, and pretty psyched that they're on the Raptors for a long time to come. We should move on, though. We're taking a long time here. Let's go to the next question here. Who finishes with the Raptors dunk of the year? I said OG. Sahal, you said Serge. Vivek said Norm. I think none of us got this right. Who ended up having the dunk of the year? I guess it was DeMar right? Yeah, it was DeMar. That's correct.
DeMar took his fair share of souls this season.
Yeah, well, Anthony Tolliver's, namely. Poor bastard. The crunch time dunker. DeMar, that's like pretty much the only time he ever dunks, which is pretty cool. Next one here. Net rating of the starting five. So I believe the lineup that this was sort of done in the spirit of was the one that had Norm in the starting five, which probably doesn't bode well for the people who said over on this. So yeah, we set the starting five at zero for a net rating. Considering it had been a disaster with, you know, a hodgepodge of power forwards in recent years. We all took the over, and if my memory serves correctly, we got owned on this one, and the starting five was very bad. I'm pulling up the numbers right now, but Sahal, what happened with the Norm starting five?
Oh, man. I hate that we're calling it the Norm starting five because I don't want to put it all on. You know what I mean? I don't want to put it all on Norm, but it's well known, not just in the Raptors community, but the entire NBA community, that Norm had a pretty disappointing season. He was probably projected to take the biggest step out of all the Raptors this season. A lot of people had him as a sixth man of the year candidate in some preseason predictions. So he stepped in. Casey let him and CJ battle it out early in the season for the starting small forward spot. Norm won it, and a lot of Raptors fans were happy about it. I was as well. And I guess his fit with that the four other guys wasn't as great as it could have been. I think Norm is, like we've seen this series, just naturally a better guy off the bench. I think his fit with DeMar's wasn't as clean, I guess you could say, as OG's, just because OG's a little bit of a better defender, stronger, bigger. He could shoot it. I think his standstill shot's a little better, and he could space the floor a little better than Norm. It's sad, man.
Yeah.
It's sad to be at this point of the year and just to look back at the season Norm's had, but now that I see a lot of fans clamoring for a trade, maybe we can get rid of Norm, but who knows, man?
I still
believe in you, Norm. Just stay away from GoDaddy.
I still have hope for Norm, man. I really do. And in fairness, so when we checked in at the midpoint of the season, that lineup was a negative 11.1 net rating. Jesus Christ. It really rebounded in the back half of the year. I guess when OG went out, they picked up some more minutes together. And it finished as just a minus 4.2, which obviously not great. The worst of all the Raptors lineups with more than 100 minutes. The only one that was a negative. But to improve almost 7 points per 100 possessions over the course of just a few games, that's encouraging. So, and like Norm, I don't know, we're seeing the importance of wings in these playoffs. And Norm is a wing who can defend and, you know, in theory can shoot a little bit as well. Like, I still think there's use for him. I think it was a weird season where he was in his head the entire time. I would not be shocked if we saw Norm come out next season. Maybe a role opens up for him with a move or something like that. And there's an obvious bench role for him that opens up. And, you know, we can kind of see him flourish a little bit more in a more regular role. I by no means think Norm Powell's contract is a guaranteed albatross. Vivek, what do you think, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, Masai should look to rebuild his value. I don't think he's as bad as this season has shown. I'd like to think that those first couple of seasons, there was enough there to believe in, to validate that, you know, was it 4-year, $42 million deal? Yeah, I would definitely just keep the faith in him. You know, he's got the tools to be a two-way player, and if he can just work on his three-point shot, work on his decision-making. You know, I think that was probably the biggest problem that he had, you know, once he sort of got into the doghouse. Yeah. Every game that he came in, he was just trying to do too much. And, you know, he was like, here's 2 minutes for you, Norm. Go out and show why you should be back where you were last season or the season before. And, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword there. So, yeah, hopefully he can just come in next season refreshed and just get it going again with, you know, whoever the coach ends up being.
That would be nice. Moving on to the next prop bet here. Bruno Caboclo, minutes played. Man, this did not end well for me. We set the line at 250 for some reason, which was like two times his career total, or more than that. I said over because I'm an idiot. You guys both said under, so you guys both get the point for that one. He finished with 7 minutes played as a Raptor and 100 minutes played for the Kings, which is kind of nice. He scored 26 of his career 53 points in his time with the Kings this season, so that's cool. But yeah, that did not end well. And the Bruno experiment did not end well. It ended very unceremoniously. Shouts to Malachi Richardson. How many minutes did Malachi play? Maybe I can give myself a technicality here and give myself a point.
Oh, look at Sean trying to cheat. Here we go.
I am the...
Well, I mean, I can assure you that he did not.
No, he played 5 minutes. So, yeah, no. I'm boned there also. He played one less minute than Nigel Hayes, who, don't ever forget, is the all-time leader on the Raptors in field goal percentage, three-point percentage, true shooting percentage, effective field goal percentage for eternity. Shouts to Nigel Hayes for his 6 minutes played this season. That's going to be a fun trivia question one day. Moving on to the next one. You guys are up 3-2 over me right now. You guys each have three. Total wins. We set the over-under at 49.5. I said over. Sahal said under. Vivek said over. Of course, they finished with 59 wins. So point for Vivek, who's making a comeback here and might end up winning this after losing at the midway point of the season. Yeah, that they won more than 49.5 games. Vivek, will you fondly remember this season because of the 59 wins? I know the playoffs sucked, but with some distance, how will the 59 wins resonate in your brain?
Extremely positively. I mean, there are so many great memories over the course of the season. I mean, I'm not gonna let 1 week of pure hell just completely diminish, you know.
First in hell, man. That was
was it 5-6 months of really great basketball, really exciting ball movement, player movement, the bench mob. I mean, Yakin's skills were so much fun to watch, and then you look at DeRozan's improvement as a playmaker, and you look at, you know, the number of times DeLon had those Euro steps, and you know, Jonas making threes, and you know, all those little celebrations you saw, and those little moments that you get on open gym. I mean, yeah, I'll never look at this season as negative.
OG making Mike Budenholzer cry with the crunch time dunk. Sahal, same sentiment for you, mostly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, saying under. Choosing under.
Yeah, aside from getting it wrong, are the 59 wins going to be a nice memory for you?
Oh, absolutely. So many. I mean, watching the Raptors this season, I've enjoyed watching the Raptors even through their darkest times. But, I mean, this year was totally different. And it's like almost every game, a different guy was having a standout game. There was just so much consistency from almost every player on the team, whether it be on the bench or the starters. So many guys step forward, the mental process. 59 wins is also a testament to Dwayne Casey, and I know he's gone, and hopefully he doesn't get hired by another NBA team. But a lot of that has to do with Dwayne and his coaching staff, Nick Nurse, Rex Kalemian, and completely overhaul the system. Obviously, it didn't work as well near the end. I'm pretty sure we can all agree that that's not all on Dwayne Casey, but he ended up being the guy that had to go. But it was an incredible season in every sense of the word. It was definitely incredible.
Yeah, just a to touch on your point about Casey Sahal, I mean, the professionalism that we saw over the course of the regular season, to go 35-2 against teams under 500 with one of the younger squads in the NBA, obviously you've got leaders in Lowry and DeRozan, and experience with Jonas and Serge now as well, but I think overall to have that professionalism and just kill teams the way they did and beat the teams that they're supposed to, which was a bit of a problem in seasons past, I think that's a huge credit to Casey.
Yeah, definitely. Dwayne Casey rules, man. I'm sad that he's gone. I understand the move. I hope he lands on his feet. The Raptors Twitter account just said, congrats, coach, quote tweeting a picture of Dwayne Casey being a finalist for Coach of the Year. That's weird. This whole thing is, I don't think he's going to win. I think Stevens will probably win based on like what it seemed like a lot of the voters were doing and stuff I read. But yeah, that's going to be super duper weird.
Oh, yeah, that is, oh, goodness.
Okay. Yeah, please delete. It's just so awkward. Yeah. Just another joke to be levied at the Raptors at this point, which is exhausting. Last prop bet here, and congrats, Vivek, because you are going to go home with the fifth point and the victory over myself and Sahal. We all got this one correct. The question was, of course, how many playoff rounds will the Raptors win? It was set at 1.5. We all took the under, knowing that LeBron James lurked in the second round, apparently. And, yeah.
LeBron, man.
So, we all get a point there, but Vivek was leading by one anyway. So, with 5 points, Vivek, you are the prop bet champion for this season. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Did we do this last year? I can't remember. I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
Well, we'll make this an annual tradition. Vivek, you are the all-time champion right now. Woohoo! Well, what do you
I
have
like
to say?
All-time champ.
What do you have to say in victory?
That I'm better than both of you. Both of you.
Oh, okay.
Right. Step your game up. Hard.
I'm coming hard next year.
I am happy with tied for second. I was second at the midway point. I'm second now. I like my acceptance of the Raptors being less than perfect. I am accepting of my faults, and I'm cool with being in the middle. It's fine.
Sean having an everything is fine speech for finishing second is so perfect.
It's just absolutely perfect.
All right, guys, I think that's going to do it. We've slowly made our way through this thing. I've been dealing with a terribly runny nose because allergies are a bastard, and so thanks for putting up with me if I've sounded super weird on this podcast. And if I've been like stifling sniffles, it's been a bit of a struggle these last 25 minutes. I'm sweating a little bit. But either way, this was great. Vivek, anything you want to plug right now?
No, not really. I mean, in case you missed my piece, sort of about the Raptors organization as a whole in terms of their decision making and how, you know, they have some non-Casey things to address as well in terms of truths that they need to confront. That's up on Raptors Republic if you want to check that out. Yeah, I'll have more work coming through the offseason as the news trickles in on who the new head coach of the Raptors is.
Fair enough. Sahal, anything you want to plug?
I don't have anything. I do want to say one thing. For Raptors Republic, we do have myself, Vivek, and the rest of the team, we do have our player kind of postseason. I haven't chosen my player yet. I don't know, Vivek, have you chose yours or...
I will be doing Jakob Poeltl. I will be doing a review of Jakob Poeltl.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a child. Carry on, Sahal.
Which is good. I'm probably going to ask Blake if I can do it on Bruno. He'll probably decline, but... no, but on a more serious note, I don't know if I have anything coming out now, but we do have some things coming for Raptors Republic. It's pretty cool. Some stuff that Blake's been talking about, so...
Right on. Keep on keeping on. I don't have anything written coming up yet at the moment. I'm kind of taking a bit of a break because my brain hurts, but I am doing podcasts for the next little while. I'm going to hopefully have a podcast in the next couple days. Starting to do some of my own player reviews of the player because, like, what the hell else are you supposed to do between now and the draft and free agency? It just seems draft, like the way to fill 15 days of content. So expect some player reviews to come up. We got to get the trivia back going as well. I think Sahal's out, but Vivek's still alive, so we'll have trivia Keep maybe oh. Sahal can win the double. Or sorry, Vivek can win the double between prop bets and trivia. That would be quite impressive.
Bring it home, yeah. Vivek. Bring it all the way home.
That would be rather impressive. Something that Man United could never possibly hope to achieve. And we will.
Buses coming good from the Spurs fan.
Yeah, again, I've accepted. No, I've accepted my lot in life. I'm fine with it. It's cool. Third in the table, baby, forever. That's gonna do it. Thanks so much for everyone for tuning in. You can subscribe, rate, review. Seriously, it helps so much. It's the nicest thing. Have you guys ever rated or reviewed the podcast on iTunes?
I did read it. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't reviewed. I didn't leave a review, but
that's
I did
fine.
Read it.
Vivek, have you been slacking?
So, no, I've done it, but the thing is, I use an app called Podcast Addict, so I don't know if it registers or not, but.
I think you can do it on the webpage. If you go to the iTunes webpage, just on your laptop or whatever, in your browser, you can do it there. But thanks for juicing the stats, boys. Appreciate that. I have not given myself a 5-star rating because it feels weird. And I don't want anyone to see my name there as someone who's rated it 5 stars, because that feels like a recipe for someone to make fun of me in screen cap. But please, everyone else, do it. It's very nice of you to do, and I appreciate it very, very much. All right, guys, that's gonna do it. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. This was a blast, and we will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.